Hello, everyone. The Lord our God will return very soon to meet us in the air. I love the Lord our God. His return is imminent. And that means very, 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 very soon. Any day now. Any moment now. And I thank God for every moment of time we have to use in His name. You know, time is one of our greatest commodities of grace. Every day we have is another day of grace. If you're in the church is still here. That's another day of grace. Use it to the glory of God. You know, the Lord loves His people to know Him and walk in His way. But we still have to live, and the Lord is interested in every part of your life. But this is just a day that if you have loved ones out there, they need to be fairly warned, and they need to be encouraged. They need to be blessed. Everything that we work for that's dear to us is also dear to God. So we need to, as we follow Him, everything's enhanced in the life of God, and in Him, everything is enhanced, and in our personal lives, everything is also enhanced. Because when we're healthy, things work better. And that's what following God is all about. He's going to guide you. The reason the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us is to point out greater things that we need, the truth of God. See, He knows for a fact that the truth of God has been evil spoken of. And God has been lied upon. Jesus Christ has been lied upon. The Holy Spirit has been greatly misrepresented and also lied upon. Not only by the world, but by the people of God as well. And so many people think it's okay to quench the spirit and things are going to just be fine. But you can't do that. And the reasons people quench the spirit is because of their focus, primarily. And also misinformation, bad teaching, poor teaching, wrong teaching, rebellion against the truth of God. And those things cause people to believe wrong and rebel and go and do the wrong thing and misrepresent God. Now, Jesus once said that if you don't build with me, you scatter. In today's broadcast, I'm going to show you many ways that people have scattered. And yesterday, the last broadcast of yesterday, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And He don't make people do what they should do. He points things out, and you do it by your faith. See, remember, Habakkuk didn't say, the just shall live because the Holy Spirit is going to make him do something. He said, the just shall live by his faith. Anytime you trust the Lord, remember, trust is a noun. It's not a verb. Trust is a noun. And you carry out your trust by faith. So when the Holy Spirit show you something, reveal things to you, point things out to you, when you believe it, that's the first step of faith. You received what He said and you believe it. Now you're charged. You're ready for action. Belief is faith. It's just the first step of it. And when you speak it, that's when you release it and it's active. You do the work of the ministry. You make the change you need to make. You do the things you need to do. Faith is an act. It involves speaking the word and acting on it until it is finished. And just like we always say, the time that it takes for the faith to be finished, that's the duration. Well, the duration is never out of faith. Faith is always on. But we bring things to pass by acting on the word of God that we believe and receive. And we speak it, we act on it. It works all the time. But the Holy Spirit alerts us to things that we need to do. He doesn't do the work for us. And He doesn't, we do the work. And then He has something to work with. If you're living the life of God, you live in the word of God, and it gives people a word visual. And the Lord can take that word visual and charge people's hearts with it, just like you hear the word of God. If you see the word of God, you can still receive faith. When people see the handiwork of God on your life, it suggests to them that they can have the same thing. And then when you give your testimony how God loved you and blessed you, it charges their heart. When you speak the word of God, it charges their heart too. So they can receive a charge of God's word by hearing the word, by hearing your testimony, which is also the word, and by seeing you live the life, which is the word. And you can charge their life, encourage them out of this nasty world. And that's what Satan's afraid of. And that's why the devil always lies on God and the Holy Spirit and on you and on all of his people and on Jesus Christ. He wants you to, if he can't get you to rebel against God, he's trying to make your life look raggedy, clumsy. And if he could, he wanted to look hypocritical. But people who love God and won't sin, he can't get them in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And they live as true people because they are true people. And when you live your life according to the wisdom of the Proverbs, you astound people, even people that think they're greater than you are. You make better decisions. A student can make better decisions than a professor in some cases. And there are people that are much more educated, and they have the smarts. They've been prudent in their ways. But when you start living by the wisdom of God, that trumps their best worldly endeavors. And that's what it's about. We got to alert people. Some people will only be alerted by people who walk in, they live a holy life, and they live by love, and then they live by wisdom. Now, some people, they'll say, well, the enemy know how to trick people. If you love them and if you live a holy life, they'll just say, well, that's just a simple person, you know. They don't know no better. Their concepts are totally opposite. They think it's wise to be like the snake, not like the sheep. But when you live wiser than they do, now you put them on the spot. They have to swallow their pride. And the Lord hates pride. He resists the proud. But sometimes people need to be shaken up. Their fallow ground need to be broken up. And the ways of God can do it. Now, there are some people, they're gonna miss heaven unless somebody lived the life. Remember, anybody that gets saved, they're gonna appreciate it. Everybody that come to the Lord, when they go to heaven, they're gonna greatly appreciate it. They're gonna realize they were wrong. Right now, they don't realize it. They think they're right. They think they're fine. They don't value the things of God because they're foreign for them. They don't know what they're throwing away. It's just like the man that was cleaning out the house. You pick up a chest. If he don't look inside, he can't value what's inside. And he's throwing away all the junk for these people. And he pick up a chest full of money and don't know it. And if he don't look inside, he can't value it, and he'll throw it out. And then the man in the field, in the garbage dump, he'll find it, and he'll turn his tractor off, and he'll go put it in his car, and he'll finish his job, and he'll go straight on home, because he values what's inside the chest. Because when he ran over, he saw money flying in the air. We have to value the things of God. And the things of God is much more greater than a chest full of money. Remember, the chest full of money can only buy you what man can create. But the life of God gives you what God can create. And if you learn to live by your faith, you won't throw it away so fast. It's important to do the things of God. It's important to know what he knows. It's important to go forward doing what God said do. And the Lord will guide you. He loves you. He cares about you in every way there is. And I want people to know the goodness of God. Now, when I was going to the church, I went to different types of churches. And when I was a kid, I knew of three different churches. There were Baptist churches, Methodist churches, and Holiness Church. That was the three that I knew about. As a child, now, I didn't know about the rest of them. Eventually, I heard about the Catholic Church. I didn't, you know. But I got to say this. My dad was a good Methodist pastor. He didn't downplay other churches. So I had no evil opinion of other churches. And the way he represented God, that's how I thought everybody represented God. That was my world. So when I went to different churches, I didn't think negatively. There was no negative influence because my daddy didn't do that. He preached the word, and sometimes he would invite Baptist preachers and they'll preach. And I wasn't familiar with holiness preachers. But daddy was kind to everybody. It didn't matter to him. As long as you love Jesus Christ, you were fine. And he didn't talk about people. He didn't downgrade people. He didn't downplay people. He didn't speak on that. I didn't hear him do it. And I went to church listening to him for years. But as a child, I didn't pay attention like I should have, but I saw enough to know that my daddy was doing the right thing. And I heard some of his message, and it helped. I had example. But when I got old, I wanted to learn about the Holy Spirit. Now, my daddy taught, he preached out of town. And after I was grown, I started, when I was about middle school age now, what would be middle school age, or we didn't have middle school back then, but when I was about the 7th or 8th grade, my sister, I started going to school, I mean staying at home and going, and my sister would take me to church. And we went to Reverend Rice's, Mount Moriah, where Reverend Rice was the pastor. And he was a good man of God as well. And he didn't downplay other people either. So in my world, people that love God, they just love God. They didn't talk about other people in negative. You know, they did the right thing. They were honorable. But I wanted to learn about the Holy Spirit. And I was told, and I went to a holiness church. And to be honest with you, I didn't leave right. I didn't go and talk to Reverend Rice about what I was doing. I just went. I didn't go back. That wasn't right. I didn't do right. But I was a kid. But and eventually he was concerned and called my dad, and my dad talked to him. But I just didn't even think to do that. I thought it'd be all right. I didn't think. Anyway, I went to the church, and Elder Lewis was a good man of God. He preached the word. Now, generally, holiness people get grieved at denominational churches such as Baptist and Methodist, Episcopalian and Protestant churches because they don't teach the Lutheran church. They don't teach about the Holy Spirit like they do. And they get grieved because they want people to know about the goodness of God like they found out. They want the Holy Spirit was not always taught like it should have been. And in fact, in America, one of the first churches that started the full gospel movement was the Methodist Church. when John Wesley was alive, he encouraged the people to pray till they felt God's presence. He called it the second blessing, and some of them started speaking in tongues, and they became the Church of God in Christ. And they, you know, they went Pentecostal, because people said, well, that's just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. People thought that if you go to a church and there are people there speaking in tongues, people are going to think you're crazy. If you read the book of Acts, they spoke in other languages and they heard them speaking other languages. But they didn't think they were crazy because they understood those languages. But, well, when you speak in other tongues, you're not speaking in English. You're speaking a foreign tongue. And you can look crazy doing it, because you know, it's just like in Babylon, they were babbling. Well, it's good. If you understand the scripture, praying in the Holy Spirit is a good thing. It's a sign to let you know the Spirit of God is upon you. You can pray in the Holy Spirit. That way your spirit man is praying what you don't know to pray for, so that all things can work together for good to those that love God. And then there's the gift of tongues. We talked about that yesterday. Now, Paul had to set order, but because people were so unskilled, the church divided. The Methodist church went without, they didn't stick to the Pentecostal doctrine, and the Pentecostals divided themselves. Now, whenever we don't build with God, we scatter. The heart of God could have kept those churches connected, and then the knowledge of God would have increased. But a rivalry began way back then, and it still exists. But in the holiness churches, they would preach their doctrine. Now, Elder Lewis didn't do it as much as others. He taught the word because he knew we needed the word. But we would visit churches, and every Sunday the pastor would preach. I mean, every Sunday, no matter what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, they would preach. Being baptized in Jesus' name, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and they'd emphasize it. And believe on Jesus. And then they'll talk about how women dress every Sunday for years. Because when you go back, they preach the same thing. And then the ministers following, that was their doctrine. That's what they did. I'm not talking about almost every, I'm talking every message. Believe on Jesus, be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then people had done that. I'm saying this to show that when people are so focused on something, it doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit want to do, that's what they'll do. That's why we have to learn to put our attention on the Lord. That's the only way you can live this life without grieving the Holy Spirit, is watch God. Be sensitive. A lot of people, just because they speak in tongues and they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everybody's not sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And my pastor taught a message. He taught about moods of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is in a teaching mood. Sometimes he's in a preaching mood. Preaching is different. That's saying things in a bold way to help people grow. You know, the Holy Spirit knows what the audience, what they're going through, what they need, what kind of jolt they'll need to make to make good decisions. And he knows how to influence them. He knows how to help them. He knows what they're going through. Sometimes people need to be taught the word. Sometimes specific things. Sometimes people need preaching. They need to be re-energized in the things of God, because they're going to sleep in life. Not literally, but in life, they're laying down, not standing up. And they need to be jolted. That's what preaching does. They need to be revived sometime. The Holy Spirit knows this. They need answers. And they're not getting them. They're getting whatever the pastor's focused on. Now the whole church have been, they believed on Jesus, they were baptized in Jesus' name, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And the women are, they done went to wearing dresses and no pants. And they still preaching and drilling people in with what they're focused on. I'm just using that for an example. Now other Christian people do it. They do the same thing in different ways. They preach whatever they're focused on. Some people preach their doctrine. Some people preach whatever they're focused on. It could be anything. But when people take the Lord, when they pay attention to Him, then they can preach accurately. And when you study the Word, you can teach accurately things that people need. And that's what's important. That's the only way we're going to get this thing done right. We have to have the heart of God and do things according to knowledge. We have to be more like what Paul taught about in Corinthians chapter 14. He said, focus more on prophecy, because that's what can make the difference. A man will come in, you're prophesying the things that he's concerned about, and then he can make a sober decision, and before you know it, he'll be prophesying as well. It's all about life. The Holy Spirit will help you live. He will take you forward in life. He will bless you in every way there is. And in every way you will be blessed, and others too. We have great influence by the Holy Spirit. He has so much to say, so many good things to give, gifts, blessings. He's going to take us forward and not backwards. And that's what it's all about. Now, if we don't build together, we scatter. Putting other churches down, other denominations down, it works to scatter people. Because I saw people who, they took that doctrine in, and they thought it was all right to do what they were doing. They didn't make the progress they could have made. They didn't become all they could be in Christ. And it caused a great commotion. And I've been to Baptist and Methodist churches, and to be honest with you, I didn't hear them talking about holiness people. But I heard holiness people talk about them. And it's important to know who God is and be with Him. If we be with Him, we unify the body of Christ. We strengthen it. Now think about it this way. Jesus came to give us life, and that much more abundantly. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you're equipped to do exactly precisely that, but you got to pay attention to Him first. You can't get off on a tangent. It's so easy to get off on a tangent. But if you focus on the heart of God's Word, if your eye be single, you're focused on the Lord, your whole body will be full of light. And you can make the difference you're trying to make. The Lord can use the gifts of prophecy in a holy way, in a logical way, in a wise way. And you can help win people to the Lord. Now, me and my father had discussions about all these things, you know, about the different belief systems and things. But he didn't think that was all necessary. It was because of the way people presented. But there were times when I operated in faith and he saw it. And the Lord gave me wisdom and writings, and he agreed with it before he passed. When people see the wisdom of God in action, the love of God in action, the holiness and pure ways of God in action, they have to reconsider their opinions. Now, there were bad opinions on both sides of the aisle. The Methodist Church should have picked up on what the Holy Spirit was doing and got to know him. And the Lord brought about balance. You know, most people didn't teach about the balance of God. They taught what they were focused on. And I said, I'm not going to do what others do. I'm going to follow God. This is too big for me, I felt. Unifying the body, I'm going to have to do it God's way. And I'm going to show people that the Holy Spirit is wise. He's a blessing. He came to help you, enhance your life. And I'll speak to an audience of educated people, uneducated people, people that go to church, people that don't. And I'll speak according to the word and wisdom of God. And I believe change will be made. Because when people see how God is, the devil can't lie no more. His lies are exposed. And I fully intend to expose all of his lies. As God give me grace and wisdom. That's what it's all about. Life. Living the life of God. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He has so much to say. And if people will follow him, he'll guide you out of your tangent. Everybody gets on some form of tangent. And he'll guide you out of it and cause you to be a blessing. To not only your life, but everybody you know. Now, to next, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.